everybody. This is Anthony Bionis from the Mission Start Podcast, and I'd like to welcome all of you listening to our first ever episode of The Aftermath. This podcast is designated for anything any of our reviewers have finished, whether it be anime or video games, talk about the process, talk about... Start podcast, and I'd like to welcome all of you listening to our first ever episode of The Aftermath. This podcast is designated for anything any of our reviewers have finished, whether it be anime or video games, talk about the process, talk about whatever game and anime they reviewed, and then from there on, you know, that's pretty much the main point of this podcast. It also could be used for spoiler cast as well. With me today is Aaron Clark, who did the review for Last of Us recently for our website. Hey, hello, Aaron.
Hello, everybody.
So recently you just put up the review for The Last of Us, which was pretty awesome. What was the process? What was the process for you as far as like doing the review for The Last of Us?
Well, considering it took me almost a month to write, about a month to write, the process was probably pretty tough. It's not the longest review I've written for you guys, but it's definitely one of the hard things. I had a hard time describing certain things in particular ways. I had a hard time trying to figure out how I wanted to open the review. And when I got near to the end, I kind of just tried to quickly sum up all my thoughts the best I could to describe certain things so I could close it, because I wanted to get this review done for the end of the month, because I haven't done a review for the website for a couple months. I've just been blogging. For the last couple months, I've just been doing some blogs about what's been going on in the industry, because the E3 just came and went, and there's all this stuff going on. So I've been blogging about that, and I've been trying to look for something new to review. And I thought, what about The Last of Us? This game came out. It looks pretty good. I originally had the game on pre-order, but I had to cancel it for other things. But I was able to snag a used copy for cheap. And I played through it, and I was actually pretty surprised. It's a very interesting game, and definitely one that definitely will attract those that are fans of the action adventure genre. For me personally, I will say, even though I thought the game was amazing, it definitely is it's in a genre that I usually don't try out a lot. So So it's kind of like, that's why I describe it is like there's a lot of games out there that I think are really good but even though they were really good, I personally wasn't a big fan of them.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, Last of Us is one of those. Even those games that I probably would play through again sometime in the future, but not immediately. But nonetheless, I thought it was a great game.
Mm-hmm. Was there any points during the review that you got stuck, or any particular things that you wanted to put in your review but felt like that it might have been unnecessary, or that it felt like maybe it should be in the review just for the sake of being in the review?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. Particularly anytime I go through review, there's something I feel like I could have said that I could have described that I didn't describe enough, or I didn't find a correct place to put it. Mm. Like there's a couple things like I didn't talk about in the review that I just couldn't figure out where exactly to put them.
Right.
Or I didn't feel like I described them enough. Based on my little grinding skills, but other than that, I think for the most part, I think I got everything I need to get out about the game and describe it the best I can. I think anyone who wants to know about the game can get what they can from the review, hopefully.
Nice.
And most likely this podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because I'll be able to describe some things in more detail.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The thing about it is there's two types of ways to review a game. You either write it down, or you sit down and discuss it. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I'm sitting down discussing the game, I'm able to describe things a little bit more openly than what I can in the writing process.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with all of that. I believe that if you're talking about a game, it opens up a conversation to where you may talk about things, or you might remember things that you may not necessarily put in a review, but like you just remember that, oh, hey, this moment happened, or whatnot. I definitely agree on all points. For The Last of Us, this game has been touted so far as like the best game of the year candidates thus far, even over Bioshock Infinite. Out of your experience, or first off, did you had any expectations prior to playing The Last of Us?
I don't think I had any expectation. I mean, like, I remember seeing the trailer for this game when it was first announced. I was like, oh, it's interesting. And I remember seeing some gameplay footage at E3, and I think it was 2010, and I said to myself, oh, it's a lot like Uncharted. And I said, it looks really interesting. And I don't think I was interested at first, but as the game was getting ready to come out, I said, you know what, I'd like to try that game. So I talked to the guy, games, I go, what's that game coming out, this new big PS3 game that's being done by the same people who do Uncharted? And he said, oh, The Last of Us. And he says, okay, so I originally pre-ordered the game, and as I was getting close to finishing off paying off the pre-order, I had some incidents with one of my game consoles breaking, so I had to cancel my pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
But then I, you know, when I went back to GameStop after it came out, I went, I found a used copy for $50. And the cool thing about GameStop, one of the cool things I find about GameStop, out of a few good things about GameStop, is they have this thing where you can buy a used game and then return it in less than 7 days and get your money back. I take advantage of that all the time to play new games. Basically, try new games I haven't played for free, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so basically, I played it, beat it, and returned it. So, and I gotta say, although it was a game that probably was, I was not, my interest for it isn't as big as I expected, I gotta say, I was still very impressed in this. And I think for people who are usually into the action-adventure genre, especially if you really love games like Naughty Dog's previous achievements with Uncharted, you're gonna really like this game. I really do think it's just really good. It's definitely one of the last, probably most likely one of the last big games for the PS3 before we go over to the PS4.
Oh yeah, definitely, without a doubt. When you were playing through the game, what particularly stood out to you in the game? Did the story, did that stand out to you, or was the mechanics of the game, the whole package? Go into detail. Like, what exactly stood out to you while playing the game?
Oh, I actually kind of really enjoyed the story. The relationship between the two main characters, Joel and Ellie. I the relationship between the two. It starts out like they start out as just like these two people who don't get along very well, but over time they become closer, and he treats her like his daughter, like the daughter he once had, and so they become much more closer. And you know, there's even a moment in the game, like one of the moments in the game that I thought was really interesting was there's near the end, there's a part where, and I'm totally spoiling this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
It's cool. We can do this on this podcast.
Okay, sweet. There's a part where I swear to God, I thought Joel was going to die. He gets impaled through like the bottom part, of his stomach or something like that,
mm-hmm.
through with a piece of metal. And I'm like, oh God, that's painful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should be dead after that. And even with him being injured, he still has to, you have to like, but that's not the end of the level. And like, he's injured, and yet you still have to fight your way out, sneak your way out. And then after that, there's this next level. You have, it's like the months later, and it's winter, and basically you have Ellie taking care of Joel, trying to get him back to health in the dead of winter when it's covered in snow, and she's out hunting a deer, and she runs into some supposed other survivors who help trade for some penicillin. But then later she finds out that they're bandits and who want to take advantage of her, and so basically it becomes this huge survival thing.
Oh wow.
I thought it was very interesting how she was able not only to look after this grown man by herself, but she was able to take care of herself in the process. I thought that was very interesting.
Wow, that's really awesome to hear. Now in this game, I felt like kind of threw in the obligatory zombie type characters in this game, or the what do they call it?
They're called the people in this game have been, the storyline of this game is that the people have been affected with this type of fungus t- type of fungus that's based off of a real type called, I can't pronounce it, it's called, I'm looking up the word, it's Corceptis or something. I can't pronounce, I have terrible pronunciation.
Right,
it's,
right.
It's a fungus that really exists here in the real world. From what I understand, from what I've researched about it, is that this fungus, it infects ants, apparently, and it kills them. And it takes control of their body and puts them in a position where it can mutate into a final form or something like that. And it basically, it puts the ant, it places the ant in a place where it can easily be eaten by, like, other animals and stuff like that. And once it gets into this other animal, it achieves its, like, final form or mutation or something like that, I guess. This is a real-life type of parasitic fungus. And basically, the fungus in this game is based on that. Basically, it turns people into zombies.
I see.
It turns, and of course, over time, as people become infected, the longer they stay infected, the more they mutate. Like, you have different types of different types of zombies. So, you know, it's your typical zombies, but they definitely have some differences on them. I've seen like my fair share of zombie games. Like, you have these one type of zombies that call clickers, which are zombies that have been infected for a while. And basically, they respond to, they have sonar sight. Mm. They're completely blind, and they only respond to sound.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got, like, they look like they've got fungus growing on them, and it actually acts as armor, so you have to try and shoot them or attack them in uncovered spots. Mm. So you really have to play very, very carefully when you fight these things. In fact, just one bite will instantly take you out.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, that's because it's like, you know, I play a lot of zombie games where I hear the second you get bitten or scratched by these things, you get infected. But when you're playing the actual game, anytime you get scratched or bitten, you just take some damage, you walk it off, you, I don't know, eat some green plants. I play Resident Evil. I've played all the Resident Evil games, and like, you get these characters getting a chunk taken out of them by a zombie, and then they just eat some herbs, and like, oh, they're all good as new, and like, but shouldn't you be, like, infected with the T-virus or something? No, no. And I know it's a gameplay thing. It's just kind of weird. But you're like, if you get bitten by these things, it's game over.
Right.
So you have to be very careful in combating these things. They're very, yeah.
Mm, okay. So they're taking more of a kind of a realistic approach to when it comes to those type of enemies. Usually you don't see many in games because of, you know, basically on game mechanics and having that replayability. When playing the games, How were the other enemy types? How were the humans in this game?
Well, the human basically, the humans were your typical humans, I guess. But you know, you start out, you fight like you fight military types, but most of the time you're fighting against these bandits who are basically just out to get anyone and everyone for themselves. I mean, they control, like, they've got complete control over major cities and small towns and things like that. I forget what town it is that you had, what major city you have to in the game, but it's been completely controlled by bandits everywhere you're turning. Like, you have to sneak out of this city, and it's ridiculous. Mm. I mean, the humans, I mean, they're typical, you know, they'll use cover, they'll flank cleverly, and, you know, so you have to either use stealth or fire, shoot your way through, so you have to pick and choose how you want to deal with situations. So, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Because what I... Last I heard, at least from what my friend is telling me about how the anime AI is work, is that the human AI is a bit more, you have to use a bit more strategy when it comes to fighting against them rather than, you know, stand there and shoot the zombie type enemies, which, you know, is the case. But it's interesting to hear because of the kind of the wide differences between, like, fighting one enemy as compared to the other in the game. As far as the, was there any moments in the game where it was just very frustrating, or like you guys at a point where like you felt like you were just at a point like where you, it was like a wall and you can't get through it?
No, not really. I mean, I never felt like, you know, there are times where the game, where you need to go someplace and the game doesn't tell you exactly where you have to go, so you have to kind of figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But that's typical with adventure platformer games like this. I mean, it was very typical to Uncharted. So, in this case, I mean, my only frustration for the game was the difficulty. I was playing through this entire game, on the easiest difficulty setting, which I did just so I can get through the game so I could review it.
Right.
And even on the easy difficulty setting, I got a pretty fair challenge. So, and I don't see that a lot in games. I mean, I'm glad I didn't play it on normal or harder. It would be longer to get through.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's definitely, it's not confusing at all. It's not frustrating. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was funny that you mentioned that because the thing about this game, especially if you play in a more harder difficulty, is like the item drop for what you can make and what you can use for ammo is very scarce.
It's already like that even on easy. The problems I had with this game was is that when you're in, there are two ways to, when it comes to combat, there's two ways. There's, shootouts or stealth. You're going to be using stealth most of the time because of ammo shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, there's plenty of ammo around in certain areas and certain circumstances, but one of the things that holds it back is the fact that when you're fighting against humans, from my understanding of how I played to the game, you seem to fight against humans more than you do the infected. And a lot of them use guns. And this is the same problem I had with Resident Evil 6. Why is it that when you kill an enemy with a gun, they don't drop their bullets? I was probably in situations where I'm in firefights,
mm-hmm.
or the enemies using guns, I should just be able to shoot them and then kill them with my gun and then pick up their bullets. I don't understand why most of the time they don't drop bullets. They should. I mean, I never played a shooting game besides this in Resident Evil 6 where I killed an enemy with gun, who was carrying a gun, and they didn't drop their weapon. I could either extract ammo from or pick up and use their weapon. So I feel like it creates an ammo shortage problem that doesn't really need to be there, and so it makes me want to use stealth more.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, and the stealth is, in both the action and stealth are very well done, but they have their limits. I mean, obviously the action is limited ammo, and even though there are times when there's enough ammo around, the other thing is you're very limited to how much ammo you can carry. You can only carry, with the standard handgun, you can only carry a total of 30 bullets. And that's not a lot of bullets for a handgun. With the shotgun, it's like 10 or something like that. And I'm like, and I thought maybe that was just a starting limit, like maybe you can craft things in the game. You could craft pouches to create more ammo, mm-hmm. like you could in Resident Evil Revelations, for example, I think when you started out, you couldn't carry that much ammo, but you find these packs that would allow you to increase your ammo count. And I thought that was a good idea. I thought you could do the same thing here, but no. So the problem I have with this game when it comes to action stuff is just enemies don't drop their bullets when they carry guns, and you're very limited to how much ammo you can carry, which just kind of annoys me.
It breaks the illusion.
Yeah. And this guy can carry an infinite number, there's not that many different weapons in the game,
right.
but there's enough that it's they give you what you need to get through the game. And for this guy, you can carry, eight weapons up his ass and pull them out when he needs them. He sure can't carry a lot of bullets on him.
How does that work?
and I know it's supposed to be sort of a survival horror type game too. Mm-hmm. Although to be fair, I didn't feel like it was survival horror enough for me. I mean, I felt like Resident Evil's done survival horror in this game. I felt like this was more action than survival horror.
Mm-hmm.
But even games like that, they give you a limited number of ammunition to carry. You can only carry like in the old Resident Evil games, you can only carry 8 things at once. But when it came to bullets, you could carry an infinite amount of ammo in that one square. You didn't have to, you can only carry 20 bullets per square, so you have to, keep making room for ammo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or even Resident Evil 4 and 5, where they did limit how much ammo you can carry in one box, they gave you enough inventory space that you could carry plenty of ammo packs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why this game, they limit your ammo so much. It just really bothered me a lot. If that's something you want to call frustrating, I guess, yeah. I mean, it didn't frustrate me, but it did make me go, why? I don't know.
Right, I see. it is funny sometimes where they make this truly realistic setting in the game, and then they kind of break the illusion sometimes. Like, oh, hey, the main character can carry 8 weapons, and somehow he can put an entire flamethrower in his backpack and then just take it out, and it magically just comes on.
Yeah, I mean, we've been dealing with games like that since Doom. Guy can carry 7 weapons. I mean, I'm okay with stuff like that, but if you're going to have me carry a large number of weapons, at least let me carry a large number of ammo to go with it.
Mm, yeah.
That makes sense to me. I mean, I just don't get that. And then there's the stealth elements. The stealth elements in the game are also very well done, but they still have some flaws. If you've played Uncharted, you know, Uncharted has a very similar thing tilt to it when it comes to the action tech. You can choose to use mostly to either shoot your way through, or you can try and use stealth when necessary. The stealth elements in the game are done well, but there's a lot of there's a lot of limitations on how you approach it. Like there's different types of stealth moves that Nathan had that you can use to attack enemies. The only thing that this guy can do is he can sneak behind people and strangle them. He can't, like if you're in cover and there's a guy comes to your cover, you can't just, you know, reach over, grab him, and then like karate chop his throat like Nathan did in Uncharted. Mm-hmm. So I felt like the limited number of stealth abilities, the lack of stealth, the different stealth abilities besides sneaking up and strangling people was kind of weird. There's also a lack of stealth weapons too. Like there are these things called shivs or sieves, S-H-I-V, mm-hmm. you construct. You can also use those to like quickly kill them, because when you strangle them, they kind of go. it takes a couple seconds to kill them. And so you have to try and kill them. You want to kill them as quickly as possible so no one else will spot you. Do with the shiv, it's instantly. The shivs are interesting. The thing about the shivs, though, is that they can only be used once or twice before they can no longer be. Then you have to use another one, or you have to construct more. And my response is, it's a blade. Why can't he pull the blade out of the person's neck and use it on the next guy? What, is he shoved so far and he can't pull it out or something? And here's the bigger question is, why do you have these stupid shivs that you have to construct? Why doesn't he carry a knife with him?
That's true. Like that
why can't he just go around stabbing people with a knife? I mean, he can carry 8 guns up his ass, but he can't carry a combat knife? And the stupider thing is that Ellie has a knife. And when you're actually doing, when you play as her, as I mentioned, she actually uses her knife as a stealth weapon.
Interesting.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You can't even, like acquire one as a weapon or anything. Maybe you can. Like, I didn't play through all the replay value. I just played through the story once. Maybe there is a weapon in their life that does that.
Right,
you don't
use
shivs anymore.
Right.
But to my knowledge, having to constantly construct these shivs out of, which are basically the, which are technically the half of a blade of, like if you took a pair of scissors and snapped it in half, mm-hmm. that's basically a shiv.
Mm.
And the fact is that, you know, you have to keep constructing more and more of these just so you can keep performing these stealth moves. Shivs are also the only way that you can get zombies off you. Like the clickers I talked about, the sound ones, if mm-hmm. they grab you, it's game over. But if you have a shiv, you can stab them in the neck. Also, if you want to kill them stealthily, because they can't see you, they can only hear you, you know, stealth also works on zombies too, that's the only way to properly commit a stealth kill with them is to use shivs. You can't strangle them. I can't strangle the clickers. Now, the regular zombies that aren't clickers, the ones that can... They're basically recently been infected, and they can hear sound and they run faster and stuff. They can be killed with regular stuff. You can stick behind and choke them. I never played a game where you choke zombies before, but okay, whatever. But the whole thing of having to constantly construct these shiv things, when the guy could have carried a knife, it was one of those things that really bothered the hell out of me. Hmm. Why doesn't he keep a knife with him?
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean,
for stealth, it would be good for stealth. And when it comes to stealth weapons, I mean, you think he would be able to, like, you have weapon customization in the game, and you can customize your weapons in different ways, and there's also different parts you can make for them. You can customize the scope for your rifle, that's nice. Can you customize the silencer for your pistol, so I can shoot people in the head without them knowing? No, can't do that. The only real weapon that you can use that for stealth, projectile, is the bow and arrow, this weapon was interesting because... When you hit someone with an arrow, you can actually go and retrieve that arrow. So you can actually, as a way to...
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So as long as it hits something with flesh, you can always go back and retrieve it.
Mm.
It won't break. So that way, I used the bow a couple times, but the thing is you have to get really close with the bow because it's not very accurate. But then again, it's a bow and arrow, and you can't upgrade it to increase the accuracy. I didn't get a chance to upgrade the bow enough. I spent most of my time upgrading my pistol and my shotgun because I use those the most. So yeah, the bow was nice, although it would have been better if it was a little bit more accurate, and although the fact that you can retrieve arrows is not bad. So yeah, when it comes to stealth, stealth's very dumb, but there definitely needs to be, I wish there was a slight little bit more variety in some of the weapons that each you could have used to increase the experience, I guess.
Okay. when playing through the game, you said that the only way to kill the certain zombie type to a Shiv is, could you also come with like the other weapons also if the game allows you?
You're talking about the clickers, the guys that are blind and respond to sound?
Yeah.
Technically, you can kill them with anything, really. It's just that you can't kill them with melee attacks unless it's like, unless you're carrying like a melee item like a board or a pipe. So you don't want to, like, hand-to-hand is what I'm trying to say, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the thing you should have to be very careful around, because if they grab you, what they'll do is they'll bite you, it's insta-kill. So if you don't have any shivs, you have no way to defend yourself if they grab you. Mm-hmm. The other zombies, if they grab, the other ones that are clickers, the regulars, which are called, hold on, I'm trying to think, what are they called again? I believe they're called runners, yeah, runners, the regular types.
Mm-hmm.
If they grab you, you can get them, I'm pretty sure you can usually break them off. Another thing about the game is that melee weapons also play a huge role in having to conserve ammo, and they also work for the enemies, particularly zombies as well. Very well against the zombies, especially the clickers. One problem though is how should I describe this? Their durability is very limited. You can only hit a few times with it before it breaks. And the things that they give you are things like baseball bats and iron pipes. Now, I've never clubbed a guy with a baseball bat, but I'm pretty sure, I mean, I know baseball bat could break over time, but how many whacks do you think a baseball bat could take against someone's skull before it broke? And or even a metal pipe, a lead metal pipe, it only can be whacked 6 times and then it breaks. I mean, the melee, I found out the fact that the melee weapons in the game aren't very durable. And while they're very useful, effective, they just don't last very long. They only take a couple whacks and they break. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I can understand things like 2x4s, even those are can be somewhat weak, but a very sturdy baseball bat, you know, I mean, I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I mean, the weapons in Fallout 3 were more durable than this. There's nothing you can do to increase their durability. Well, you can sort of fix them. Like, I guess, like, if you have a board that's almost ready to break, you, and if you have some parts, you can, like, increase it a little bit, so that way increase the durability, but that only isn't going to get you very far. I don't think, like, when you get a baseball bat or something, or a lead pipe, those things should last a long time.
Yeah, my shoe lasts longer than that.
I played Fallout 3 where I had when I used a baseball bat, and you know, after a while, it broke and I had to get it repaired. Okay, fine. I was cool with that. But you know what? It lasted a lot longer. I was able to whack a lot of super mutants with that thing before it broke. This thing, I only was able to kill a couple zombies before it broke. It doesn't make any sense to me. I just thought, though, that it's just, it's weird. I don't know.
It's game logic. That's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes the game tries realistic on one thing, and other things it's completely out there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Overall, how do you feel about this game? And after everything that you have written down, do you feel that your review grade of it is to what you believe that the game is?
Well, yeah. I mean, I gave it 5. I gave it perfect 5s in every category. Just because it's really, really good. I mean, it's got flaws, obviously. We're sitting here talking about, you know, flaws with weapons. But even that's still not enough to bring down the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got, the levels are really good. The enemies are intelligent and plentiful, and they give you a lot of different options. The adventure, the action, the game is mostly action, more action than adventure. And the adventure stuff is very similar to Uncharted, but it's kind of stale compared to Uncharted. Joel's not as athletic as Nathan is, but then again, he's, I think, like 60 years old, so that's kind of understandable.
Right, right.
And nonetheless, it's, you know, it's, I really think that this is an amazing game. I mean, it's not the kind of game that I normally enjoy, so my enjoyment level of it wasn't going to be as high as other people's. I really just played it because I wanted to try it out. And so, even though I personally, I mean, I like the game. I liked it. I just didn't like this other games I played. I still think it was an amazing game, and I think if a PS3 owner, especially someone who loves the Uncharted series, you're going to like this. You're either going to like this game, or it's definitely worth a try. It's just really good. I mean, it's it's just really good, especially in the air. I mean, I have nothing else to say. I mean, it plays good, it looks good. I mean, when it comes to, I mean, we didn't even talk about the presentation. Let me tell you, this is probably one of the best looking games I've ever seen on the PS3 or even this generation so far. It's really good. It's one of the most realistic looking games I've seen. The detail is just phenomenal.
Wow, nice. I've seen some clips of the game footage and it looks really good. I can attest to that. I forgot to ask, how is the voice acting in the game?
Very good. One of the characters, I looked up a couple of these voice actors, and like you did the main characters. I'm like, oh, these guys have got some pretty good credits behind them, particularly the girl who voices Ellie, who does the voice of Gwen in Ben 10. Like, oh, that's because when I heard her voice, I'm like, I know I've heard that voice before. Oh, that's where I've heard it from. It's from Ben 10. They did a very good job with the voice acting. And the dialogue's really good, too, so it helps.
Cool. Awesome. Funny story. I think it was a year and a half ago, my buddy Greg from The Overtime, he interviewed Troy Baker back then. And
was, yeah, he's the guy who does Joel.
Yeah, and this is prior to Last of Us and whatever he did. And like as time went on, it's like Troy Baker seems to get more popular and is more bigger in the games that he was voicing in. And I'm just looking at him. And I'm just giving him, like, the stink eye. He's like, you son of a bitch. And he knows it, too.
I've looked at his resume for... He's done a lot of anime, and, you know, he's done a lot of games and movies and stuff. I'm like... I mean, he's done work on Arkham City. He's going to be playing the Joker in Arkham Origins, which should be interesting. He was in both Black Ops 1 and 2. So, yeah, he's definitely got a pretty... He's got a very impressive resume on him. So, obviously, you know... So.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's an awesome, awesome boy character for sure.
Yeah, he's very good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Aaron, for coming on to this first ever podcast of The Aftermath. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on YouTube under the YouTube user Aaron Clark 2007, and I'm also on Facebook.
Cool. And people who are wondering where they can follow me at, they can follow me on Twitter at Defective Naruto. They can follow this brand new podcast on our website at missionstartpodcast.com under the podcast tab. You can also check out Aaron's review of The Last of Us in our game section of the website. Also, you know, while you're there, check out our cool shit. As far as like previews, other reviews of animes, convention coverage, and as well as all our social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and all that good stuff. Anyways, thank you, Aaron. Thank you to everybody listening, and we will see you all next time.